You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Broncos country, what is up? It is Thursday over here at Locked On Broncos, so you know what that means. Tonight's episode is brought to you by MyBookie.ag, one of the best premier sports books out there across all sports betting entertainment across the globe. Las Vegas in your pocket. And obviously, we're going to run down today here on the show the Broncos practice report, the injury report for the Denver Broncos and the Miami Dolphins, who's questionable, who's out. And we'll talk a lot about that, as well as regarding the impact of some of these injuries for obviously the Denver Broncos. Derek Wolf being a key injury, experiencing numbness in different extremities of his body due to a neck injury. We're going to talk about that. There's some long-term concern overall there. We're going to cover the impact of what it's going to be like if Derek Wolf is not able to go. And it's kind of looking questionable right now for the rest of the year. Domantas Peko is also another one of those guys that is on the radar in terms of maybe not being able to play for the rest of the year as well. We'll talk about the impact that they've had this year and the impact that they've had in general and what it could be like if they're not here, obviously, for the Denver Broncos in this five-game stretch over the next course of the 5 weeks. Playoffs done for the Denver Broncos. 3-8 record on the year. The season has been a crapshoot. 3-1 start. Dropped 7 straight games. And I tell you what, it's been very, it's been draining. It's been very difficult, but you have to find the silver lining. You have to find the silver lining in almost every little situation that you potentially can with the Denver Broncos, good or bad. We've experienced bad years before. Now, it's been a while since we've really experienced a losing season, and I think that's the hard part. We've become a little entitled. We've had the taste of winning, and when you don't win, it obviously hurts. It's definitely a big hindrance in terms of fans being interested. Not to mention right now in the NFL, interest in football for some reason, the surveys have said the interest in the NFL overall has dropped this year. Now, my grandmother's a big Denver Broncos fan, but she says she just hasn't really been interested in the NFL this year. She says she'd much rather watch college football, and college football right now is the most entertaining product in the league. Right now, there's really not a lot of diversity in the National Football League out of 32 teams that are really, truly competitive. Outside of this year, you have Philadelphia, you have New Orleans, you have Minnesota, and on the AFC side, you have the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, realistically, and the Chargers are playing pretty good football right now, but the Denver Broncos usually are in that conversation, that discussion every year. Well, this is the first year that the narrative has completely changed. Obviously, a 9-7 year last year seemed dreadful for Broncos fans, and right now, everybody's kind of looking back on that as a memory of, man, you know what, same roster, different coaching staff, 9-7 winning record. Obviously, they started off 5-0, and they sputtered out towards the end of the year. But the Denver Broncos overall, like I said, I hate beating a dead horse, but the expectation year in and year out is to compete for world championships, and that's not the outcome this year, unfortunately. And there's just a lot of things going on in Broncos country where fans are really starting to question what's going on. Now, I don't lose faith in John Elway one bit. Absolutely not. John Elway, in my honest opinion, John Elway is doing everything that he can. Now, it may not seem like that because, you know, when NFL general managers are evaluated by people in the public eye, fans, analysts, journalists, whoever it may be, they often look at transactions. Okay, what transactions are they currently making to address areas of need? You know, specifically, the Broncos are hurting right now on the offensive line. They're hurting at the quarterback position. Now, a lot of people are saying out there right now that, well, we are not really addressing anything on the offensive line, and the quarterback play stinks, and who are you going to bring in? Well, guess what? It's a little too late right now to kind of bring anybody in terms of making this team any better. Now you just have to play out the remaining 5 weeks of the NFL regular season. You have to do that, and you just got to hope that you can snag out a win or two here or there, but it's not going to be easy. The Miami Dolphins on the road, okay, Eastern time zone game. They have a pretty good defense. okay? And the Broncos offense in and of itself really struggles, and that's something that we really have to keep an eye on, and that's kind of one of my keys to the game is obviously when I look at both the Dolphins and the Broncos, offensively both teams struggle. Now, the Dolphins have an ability to make score on some big play opportunities. Their offense takes advantage of a little more chances more so than the Denver Broncos offense gets against opposing defenses. The Denver Broncos defense has to really hold on and eliminate the big play. Now, teams are going to attack Brendan Langley. Like I said yesterday on the show, Brendan Langley's a rookie. Okay, he was exposed by the Oakland Raiders a little bit. He got tested. Well, guess what? You have three really talented weapons and a decent, solid, big-name tight end. Not really big name ever since Peyton Manning left his career, but, Julius Thomas at tight end. Okay, you have Jarvis Landry, you have Devontae Parker, you have Kenny Stills, and you have a guy with an arm like Jay Cutler. Don't get me started on Jay Cutler. Jay's a decent quarterback. He's not great. He's not a guy I think you'd build a franchise around, but he's a guy that's going to manage it enough if you have nobody. He's a veteran. He's been in the league a long time. So that's the advantage that Jay Cutler and the Dolphins offense has over the Denver Broncos, who realistically don't have that many veterans, especially at key positions like quarterback. It's just a rough go around for Broncos country right now. And I think when we go back and we kind of analyze the fruit of the season, we were given a batch of sour apples because the offensive line for the Denver Broncos for the fourth year has been very questionable, very suspect. And you know what? I'm very impressed. A guy who I'm super impressed with is Garrett Bowles, obviously a rookie tackle out of Utah, drafted in the first round by the Denver Broncos. I think he's a good pickup, and I'm very glad that the Broncos picked him up. I wish they could clone him a little bit. So kind of looking ahead, obviously, we're going to analyze the matchup between the Dolphins and the Broncos. And obviously, defenses, in my opinion, is going to be the key to the game. It's going to be a defensive game, in my honest opinion. Also, some guys on the injury report, the practice report, may be questionable, may be doubtful, may be out. We're going to talk about that, including some big-name guys, obviously Derek Wolfe, Domantas Peko, and potentially Ronald Leary. We'll get to that here in just a few moments. But I want to take the time to tell you guys right now what we have going on over at the Locked On Podcast Network. If you love Denver sports, you love Denver basketball, and be sure to go follow our brother station over there, Locked On Nuggets, okay? Hosted by Adam Modis. He does a great job keeping you up to date. He's a writer over there, a contributor over at Denver Stiffs as well as Locked On Nuggets. He keeps you up to date with all the latest news and updates regarding the Denver Nuggets. He had a great interview today with Julie Brownman and obviously Scott Hastings over Altitude 950. Check him out over there at Locked On Nuggets. Before we get to the rest of the show, I want to tell you guys about MyBookie.ag. Now, they're the best premier sports book out there for all sports bettors and people who love to gamble and kind of bet on professional sports. And I use it. And you can use it today when you go to MyBookie.ag. And when you sign up, use promo code LOCKEDON for your chance to receive 100% deposit bonus for whatever you decide to deposit on your sign up. They will match you. MyBookie.ag matches you 100% of what you submit, and you have the opportunity to double your winnings, stack your cash, and obviously win big with fantasy sports. No more waiting 2.5 weeks, a week and a half, however long it may be, or being paid never by FanDuel, DraftKings, or the guy across the street that said, hey, I'll bet you on this game. Guess what? He's closed his blinds. He's locked his door. He doesn't answer. You never see him taking out the trash anymore. It's always his wife. That's because he's ducking you. MyBookie.ag doesn't do that. MyBookie.ag sends you your winnings within 48 hours of your winnings of whatever contest you decide to play. They give it to you fast and efficient, and they're one of the most reliable sports books out there that I trust heavily in a world where insider trading has started to take over fantasy sports. Well, not with MyBookie.ag. They're dependable, they're trustworthy, they're reliable, and Locked On Broncos loves them, and Locked On Broncos wants you to join them, okay? Don't forget, MyBookie.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON. Tell them Locked On Broncos sent you, and enjoy winning big today over at MyBookie.ag. So obviously jumping ahead, our practice report for the day, the Denver Broncos and the Miami Dolphins, Thursday practice report. Now, usually Thursday is kind of a day where you look at the NFL players and you look at the practice script, and most guys that are, did not participate on a Wednesday, they come into Thursday's practice kind of limited. Friday, they usually go through full go if they're going to play. Usually when you see a DNP on a Wednesday and a Thursday, or a DNP, a limited on a Thursday, a limited on a Friday, Friday. The game status is probably doubtful or out. If they're limited all week, questionable until ruled out. But the Denver Broncos got some people back, obviously, today at practice. Shelby Harris, who's been dealing with the flu bug alongside Shane Ray. Shelby Harris was the guy back at practice today. Didn't participate yesterday on Wednesday's practice. Was limited today. Now, the concern that we need to look at, obviously, is Ron Leary, guard. He's an all-pro guard. He's been playing at an all-pro level. He had a very rough game last week against the Raiders, but I think it is his back injury, and we know what back injuries can do to a player. We saw with the Marcus Ware. Back injuries are one of the biggest hindrances for a player, and they're very tricky because they are delicate and they take time to heal and require that amount of time and not a lot of contact. So that's definitely a scary thing we got to monitor. Ron Leary, back injury, did not participate for the second day in a row. Paxton Lynch, obviously going to be out 2 to 4 weeks, did not participate. Domantas Peko's got an MCL sprain. He's more than likely going to be out this game against the Denver Broncos. Emmanuel Sanders returned back to practice today, a full participant after not participating yesterday, getting some extra treatment on his ankle. And obviously, what we need to analyze and we're going to talk about here in just a few moments is Derek Wolfe and that neck injury, a DNP all across the board. Now, Todd Davis and Adam Gotsis both returned back to practice on a full-time basis today with an ankle shoulder injury for both of them. Limited yesterday, full go today. Jeff Heuerman has been limited for the last 2 days with a knee injury, and obviously Shaquille Barrett, illness and wrist. He was limited yesterday, and he did not participate today due to the flu bug that is going around. And Zach Kerr was a full go today and yesterday. He's going to look to be playing a lot, obviously, with Derek Wolfe being out. And obviously, we're going to see Tyreek Jarrett and Shelby Harris more so at the tackle position for the Denver Broncos due to Domantas Peko and Derek Wolfe's injuries. Now on the Miami Dolphins side of the ball, we've got Jermaine Bushrod. He's a guard for them. He did not participate for the second day in a row due to a foot injury alongside backup quarterback Matt Moore. Jay Cutler's been cleared. He cleared concussion protocol. He's ready to go. He'll be playing this Sunday against the Broncos. Now Mike Pouncey, center, has a hip injury. He didn't participate yesterday, but he was a full go today in practice. Maurice Smith did not participate for the second day in a row with an abdomen injury. Ndamukong Suh returned to Thursday's practice after having a Veterans Day off yesterday alongside Cameron Wake. Michael Thomas, a safety, did not participate yesterday and was limited today in practice. He's questionable for the game. Damian Williams and center Reese Perry are both probably really questionable. Center Reese Perry's probably going to play, going through the concussion protocol. I'd assume he's probably going to get the playing time over Damian Williams, who missed his second straight day of practice with a shoulder injury. And Jarvis Landry wasn't listed on the injury report yesterday. Wasn't listed. Now, apparently he had a little knee injury, a little tweak. He was limited today in practice. It'll be interesting to see how he, you know, what if he participates fully tomorrow. If he's limited tomorrow, he could be out or doubtful for the Broncos game on Sunday. So those are the key injuries for the Denver Broncos and the Miami Dolphins heading into their Week 13 matchup down there in Miami. So obviously the key injuries we talked about at the beginning of the show. In my honest opinion, I believe losing Derek Wolfe is going to be a big hindrance for the Denver Broncos. We saw when Derek Wolfe is not out there, the team just kind of lacks a little bit of fire on the interior, on the anchor, on the defensive line. Now, when you had Malik Jackson back in 2015, when Derek Wolfe was a little injured or banged up, you didn't really miss a beat. Now, that's going to be a lot for guys like Tyreek Jarrett, Zach Kerr, Shelby Harris, guys who can fill in and play essentially in the 3-4 at the defensive end spot into a 3 technique or a 1 technique. Those guys are going to be very pivotal in terms of getting to the quarterback or stopping the run. Now, Domantas Peko is another guy alongside Derek Wolfe that really has done a very good job this year in stopping the run. And without those two guys, the Broncos defense is going to hurt a little bit. And you know, to be honest with you, I'm worried about Derek Wolfe's long-term health. Now, we've seen with Derek Wolfe, he's had a history of neck injuries. That's been a huge, huge part of his health. Now, over the last couple weeks, he's indicated that he's developed numbness in his face, toes, thighs, different extremities of his body. That's not normally a good sign. Now, doctors usually would say that's not good. Okay, most doctors would probably recommend if you're experiencing symptoms like that, you might hang it up. You might hang the cleats up. But Derek Wolfe and his personality, he loves football. He loves going out there and he loves playing hard and competing. He said he's doing whatever he can to kind of look into options to see what he can do to get back out on the field. But obviously his health is more important now. He's got a child. He's got a wife. He's at a point in his life where he can't just think about himself. He said, yeah, if it was just me, if I was the only person I had to worry about, I would play through it. But now he's got his future to think about, and that's what you have to look at. He's a human being. He's a football player, obviously in the spotlight of fans, a public figure. But more importantly, he's a man. He's a human being. He's a husband. He's a dad. That's important for Denver Broncos fans to kind of put in perspective. So I definitely want to wish Derek Wolfe a speedy recovery, a lot of thoughts and prayers his way. Hopefully, he gets some good news and starts to regain some of that feeling back. Obviously, always a scary thing. Anytime you start feeling numbness in your extremities, that's not a good sign. So Todd Davis is going to have his work full, obviously, this week with that ankle shoulder injury, especially with the running backs. And obviously, he's going to have to cover Julius Thomas. I imagine Adam Gase specifically in the game plan, he's going to try to find ways to isolate Brandon Marshall or Todd Davis on a tight end or a slot receiver, and the Miami Dolphins have some weapons. Now, both offenses for the Broncos and the Dolphins aren't that good. They're struggling, but I think this is going to be a defensive game through and through, and that's where, you know, the defense that gives up the least amount of big plays is the team that's going to win this game. And you know, I just look at the Miami Dolphins defense with Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake, Lawrence Timmons, Alan Branch. They have some very, very solid playmakers. And to be honest with you, going back and watching the film against the New England Patriots, I'm kind of a little anxious this weekend for the Denver Broncos because we've seen what Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, Alan Branch did to Tom Brady. Every time they got a chance to touch Tom Brady, Tom Brady ate the floor. He pretty much went into the turf really hard. They hit him. They made sure that Tom Brady knew that they were coming every single play. And that's a little intimidating, especially given the fact that the Broncos' offensive line has been one of the worst in the National Football League this year, outside of Garrett Bowles, in my honest opinion, Matt Paradise as well. Now, the issue at hand that we're trying to kind of figure out what's going to go on is if Ron Leary, the all-pro guard that the Denver Broncos have, is not able to go this Sunday. Now, if he can't play, the Denver Broncos have some options. They're in a tough situation. Now, you know, you have a guy on your roster. His name's Connor McGovern. He stepped in and played center this preseason when Matt Paradise had his hip surgery and kept that going. He's a guy you could potentially put at guard, or you can move Alan Barber back to guard opposite of Max Garcia. So Alan Barber would play right guard in this, obviously, situation that you know, Ron Leary is not able to go in this game. Vance Joseph said today, you know, he's had 2 days in a row where he did not participate with a back injury. So at that point, you have to wonder, there's some serious traction on the fact that he might not be able to play on Sunday against the Dolphins. So situation, you can put Connor McGovern at right guard and keep Alan Barber at right tackle, or you can put Alan Barber back at right guard and put Cyrus Quandro or Elijah Wilkinson in at right tackle. Some guys they brought in earlier. Why not? You're trying to figure out if you have a right tackle in the first place, so why not give these guys some run? Ultimately, though, McGovern is one of the options that the team has to obviously replace Ron Leary at the guard spot. Now, it's going to be hard to replace Ron Leary at guard because he's had a very phenomenal year. He's had a very phenomenal career. We've seen how back injuries can affect an NFL player. Now, as an offensive lineman, you got to be able to move, step, lean forward, lean back. And if you have a bad back, that's just simply very difficult for the Broncos to be able to do. Especially in the term where the offensive line is already struggling as is. Now, Ron Leary, we saw last week against Oakland, struggled against the pass rush, and I think a lot of it was due to his back injuries. I think that was a big reason for it. He was playing hurt last week, and it obviously showed on film. He had one of his worst games of the season compared to the season where he's had a very good year overall. So when I look at the Broncos' offensive line, we all can agree that it's kind of a dumpster fire right now. It's kind of questionable. It's kind of upsetting because the Broncos' offensive line doesn't give the quarterback a lot of times to hold the ball, make plays, step up in the pocket and throw three-step drop, five-step drop. There's always pressure coming from somewhere, some guy coming untouched, and that's where you have to get better. I think lack of experience on some guy's position. I think Max Garcia is just a little too slow right now against some NFL tackles and some inside linebackers like the stunt and blitz. I think Garrett Bowles has done a phenomenal job. Now, Garrett Bowles' biggest issue is obviously some penalties here and there, holding, false start, whatever may be, but he's got an engine and he goes after guys. He's intense, and if you hit his quarterback, he's going to fight you. He's going to come after you. That's what I love about Garrett Bowles. Now, Alan Barber, I feel like, is put in a very unwinnable situation. When I go back, and you guys all have seen this. We've talked about it on Twitter. He's a natural guard. But we have to play him at right tackle, and he's struggling against very good pass rushers. Now, the Denver Broncos offensive line had a very good game against Kansas City. They had a very good game against the New England Patriots. However, the Kansas City Chiefs didn't really have a good pass rush game. Their defense wasn't that good. Their defense was prone to giving up big plays, and they did just that. And the New England Patriots defense isn't that good either. They didn't really have much of a pass rush against the Denver Broncos. Now, they improved, and they got to Miami last week. They got the Matt Moore, Jay Cutler, whoever was out there at quarterback. Can't remember. But they got back to him. They got to him, and the Denver Broncos are going to have to find a similar strategy to get to Jay Cutler this weekend. You're going to have to get very unique with your blitzes and dial-ups. You got to go more man coverage, and I think most Broncos fans would agree with me when you say you have to stay in man coverage because teams are eating up the Broncos when they're in zone coverage, and it makes it harder for the inside linebackers to even be able to do it, even the safeties. Now, go cover one or go cover two, man under, be aggressive underneath. You have safety help over the top. And send an outside backer or play a nickel when you go into that kind of package. But you need to get pressure on quarterbacks, specifically Jay Cutler. You're going to have an opportunity to sack Jay Cutler, do it. You're going to have the opportunity to pick Jay Cutler, make the most of your opportunities. That's something that the Broncos defense hasn't really had this year. They haven't been able to take advantage of opportunities, and they've been one of the league's worst in terms of generating turnovers, and that's just not what we're used to from the Denver Broncos. So my key to the game, this is going to be a defensive game. I say whoever scores the first defensive points, whether it be a blocked field goal attempt for a safety, a pick six, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, however, whoever scores first on defense, because I think that's the only way people are going to score is on defense this week, the offense is sure as heck might not even score. The Dolphins or the Broncos are both very inept offensively. Vance Joseph returning to Miami where he was a D coordinator last year, gave a lot of respect towards Ndamukong Suh in today's press conference saying that he was a very pivotal part of the game plan and being vocal and that he's actually a good person. Well, we'll see that. We'll see if he tries to step on any players' ankles or helmets or faces. We'll see a lot of that this Sunday, and hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully it's a game the Broncos can come out and attack, and I just want to see heart. That's the main thing I want to see. In these last five games for the Denver Broncos, I want to see heart. I want to see fight. I want to see care. That's really all I want to see. We've seen nothing for the last 7 weeks besides defeated body language. Defeated body language is demoralizing as a fan, as a player, as a coach, as a general manager, as an owner of a professional sports team. That is very demoralizing, and you just want to have your guys fight. You want to have guys come out and can play with continuous effort, not hang their heads when things get bad. The Denver Broncos have to get away from that. I really, truly believe that the Broncos can get away from that. They can come out on Sunday with a big win against the Miami Dolphins. So join us here tomorrow, Fan Friday. We're going to have a very special Fan Friday interview with a Broncos fan to be announced, obviously, tomorrow here on Locked On Broncos. Like I said, this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.